100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez. From the Book Jacket. Probably Garcia Marquez's finest and most famous work, 100 Years of Solitude tells the story of the rise and fall, birth and death of the mythical town of Macondo through the history of the Buendía family. Inventive, amusing, magnetic, sad, alive with unforgettable men and women, and with a truth and understanding that strike the soul, 100 Years of Solitude is a masterpiece of the art of fiction. About the author. In late February 1997, just before his 70th birthday, Gabriel Garcia Marquez announced that he was once again exiling himself to Mexico City. His native Colombia, he said, was a country uncomfortable, uncertain, and troubling for a writer. Most of his fellow Colombians, who familiarly and affectionately refer to their Nobel laureate as Gabo, went ahead with the birthday celebrations without the guest of honor. Reminiscences and remembrances of his long career filled newspapers and radio and television programs. But Gabo had headed north. Garcia Marquez's now-here, now-there relationship with Colombia is not new. He has been back and forth among Colombia, Mexico, and other countries since 1956. His first 28 years, however, were entirely Colombian. Born in the northern coastal town of Aracataca on March 6, 1928, he spent his first 8 years in his maternal grandparents' home, listening to their nonstop stories, superstitions, and folk beliefs, unable to distinguish between the real and the fabulous, not least because of their way of storytelling, especially that of his grandmother. They recounted the most improbable happenings with the same facial and vocal expressions with which they recounted fact. His grandfather also took him to circuses and other entertainments and introduced him to the miracle of ice, an episode that introduces 100 Years of Solitude. The author would later remark that, "I feel that all my writing has been about the experiences of the time I spent with my grandparents." After his grandfather's death in 1936, Garcia Marquez moved to Sucre, where his father was a pharmacist, and was soon sent to a boarding school in Barranquilla. When he was 12, he entered a Jesuit secondary school in Zipaquirá, not far from Bogotá. Following his parents' wishes, he enrolled in 1946 in the law program of the Universidad Nacional in Bogotá. He quickly lost interest in his studies, however, and took to roaming the city and writing. During these years, he made two life-changing discoveries. On a visit to his parents, he met his future wife, 13-year-old Mercedes Barcha Pardo, who pledged her undying love. And he read Kafka's Metamorphosis, in Jorge Luis Borges' translation, which reinforced his grandmother's storytelling technique, recounting the wildest things with a completely natural tone of voice, he later said. In the meantime, he had begun his writing career. In 1946, his first story, The Third Resignation, was published by El Espectador newspaper, followed by 10 others over the next few years. In 1948, he transferred to the Universidad de Cartagena, where he began his career as a journalist, reporting for Cartagena's Universal. By this time, he had read Hemingway, Joyce, Wolfe, and Faulkner, the last of whom was to have a lasting influence. In 1950, not long after becoming a reporter for El Heraldo in Barranquilla, he accompanied his mother back to his grandparents' home to prepare it for sale. This return to his haunted childhood inspired him to write his first novella, La Hojarasca, Leaf Storm, U.S. 1972, which was rejected by the first publisher to whom he submitted it, forgotten, and not published until 1955. But his career as a journalist had begun, and would continue throughout his life. "I've always been convinced," he later told one interviewer, that my true profession is that of a journalist. Back in Bogotá in 1952, he joined the El Espectador staff as a reporter, story writer, and film critic. His As Told To series, The Truth About My Adventure, by Luis Alejandro Velasco, about the shipwreck of a Colombian destroyer carrying illegal cargo, and published in book format as Relato de un Náufrago in 1970, infuriated the government, and he was sent by the newspaper to Italy. He eventually settled in Paris, where he wrote the initial drafts of El Coronel No Tiene Quien Le Escriba, No One Writes to the Colonel, U.S. 1968, and Este Pueblo de Mierda, which would be published in 1961 as La Mala Hora, In Evil Hour, U.S. 1979. A story, Un Día Después del Sábado, One Day After Saturday, brought him his first award, the Colombian Association of Writers and Artists Award, in 1954. But suddenly out of a job, because the Colombian government closed down El Espectador, he worked as a freelance journalist in Paris and London, before returning to Caracas, Venezuela. There he met up with an old friend, with whom he spent 1957 touring Eastern Europe in search for solutions to Colombia's problems. 1958 found García Márquez working for Momento magazine in Caracas, but he managed to slip back into Colombia to marry Mercedes. They would have two children, Rodrigo, born in 1959, and Gonzalo, born in 1962. By this time, he had become favorably impressed by Fidel Castro's Cuban Revolution, and in 1959 helped found the Colombian branch of Prensa Latina, Castro's news agency. Thus began a friendship that has continued, with occasional criticism from García Márquez, to this day. After stints in Havana and New York City, through 1961, he resigned from Prensa Latina and moved the family to Mexico City, which was to become his semi-permanent home. In 1961, El Coronel No Tiene Quien Le Escriba and La Mala Hora were published, the latter receiving Colombia's Premio Literario ESO. The story collection, Los Funerales de la Mama Grande, Big Mama's Funeral, followed in 1962. Then in 1965, on a family vacation to Acapulco, as he later wrote, all of a sudden, I don't know why, I had this illumination on how to write the book. The book was Cien Años de Soledad, 100 Years of Solitude, U.S., 1969, which he completed over the following intensely focused and impoverishing 18 months, and which appeared to universal acclaim in 1967. Popularity and fame were his, and, as translations appeared in country after country, the term magical realism entered readers' vocabulary around the world. Barcelona, Spain was the next stop, and there García Márquez worked on El Otoño del Patriarca, The Autumn of the Patriarch, U.S. 1976, which, published in 1975, examined a dictator's final days and the desolation of absolute power. In the years since 1980, other novels, novellas, non-fiction works, stories, plays, and screenplays have appeared. Among them, Crónica de una Muerte Anunciada, Chronicle of a Death Foretold, U.S. 1983, in 1982. El Amor en los Tiempos del Cólera, Love in the Time of Cholera, U.S. 1988, in 1985. La Aventura de Miguel Littín, Clandestino en Chile, Clandestine in Chile, U.S. 1987, in 1986, which brought down the wrath of the Chilean military dictatorship. El General en su Laberinto, The General in His Labyrinth, U.S. 1990, in 1989. His amazing fictional study of the final days of Simón Bolívar, South America's great hero, referred to as the Liberator. Doce Cuentos Peregrinos, Strange Pilgrims, 12 Stories, U.S. 1993, in 1992, and Del Amor y Otros Demonios, Of Love and Other Demons, U.S. 1993, in 1995. His journalism culminated in 1996 with his account published in the United States as News of a Kidnapping, of the kidnappings of 10 prominent Colombians by agents of drug trafficker Pablo Escobar. Whether in fiction or nonfiction, whether in the epic novel or the concentrated story, Gabriel García Márquez is now recognized as the most popular and perhaps the best writer in Spanish since Cervantes, Carlos Fuentes. He is one of those very rare artists who succeed in chronicling not only a nation's life, culture, and history, but also those of an entire continent, a master storyteller who, as the New York Review of Books once said, forces upon us at every page the wonder and extravagance of life.